bring you greetings from the saints in the Philippines who are waiting for the coming of the Lord. I thank the Lord for giving me the privilege to be standing here before you. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for giving me the opportunity. And this evening, before I let you be seated, we'd like to read the Word of God. I'm going to speak on the subject called the last seed. Hunting the last seed of Abraham. In the book of Matthew chapter 18 verse 12 to 14, it says here, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And so, if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." See how important that one sheep is to the Lord? "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Brother Branham said, "One soul is worth 10,000 worlds." In the book of Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 to 32, here's another parable that the Lord told. In verse 28, it says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. And then he came to the second, and he said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, 'The first.' And Jesus said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go to the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." These are the words of the Lord. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly, knowing that only you can quicken these words to our hearts. And we ask that you speak directly to the hearts of the people and meet every need tonight. For we give you all the praise and honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's a privilege to be standing here before you, this great edifice that the Lord has blessed you with, in which to worship the Lord and continue serving God as we await for His return. I have a request for the church to pray for our church building project. After 33 years of our existence, we're finally building our own church. And I covet your prayers, and because the Lord is supplying the need. You know, we were able to purchase a lot, and now we're building. The construction is going full blast, and they've been sending me photographs of what they've been doing. And I see that all the steel trusses have been up, and by next week they're going to put the roof on. And everybody's just excited that the church is really shaping up and going to be finished soon. We're praying, Lord willing, that by the second week of December, we'll be able to move in. We'll be able to finish at least the sanctuary part of the church so we can move in and start holding the services there. Amen. So will you pray for us? Amen. Pray for us, because there's still a long way to go, And I'm trusting that God will provide and supply for everything that we need. Amen. Okay, I just thought that I would speak on this subject on the last seed. You know, the Bible speaks in Revelation 11 about when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Of course, we understand that that means that when the time and the fullness of time has come, and God is through dealing with the Gentiles, then He goes back to the Jews and restores grace to them. But we also understand that if you are a born again believer, if you're a son of God this evening, that your name has already been in record. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the prophet of God said, before there ever was a world, before the foundation of the world. That means that God has a specific number of people in mind that He wanted to save and that He wanted to spend eternity with. Amen. He thought of the bride before the foundation of the world. We understand that. And I always get thrilled to know that before I even fell in sin, God already made a way. Hallelujah. Made a way for that sin to be annihilated so that I can be restored back in fellowship with my God. Hallelujah. I'm so excited to know that before I even committed the first sin, before I even fell in sin, God already made a way for that sin to be taken care of. Hallelujah. He loved me that much that He chose me before the foundation of the world. And He put my name in a book. He listed my name amongst those that have been elected. Amen. Those that have been counted precious in His sight. And there are, I don't know where, how many names there would be. David saw them as 10,000s of the same, thousands upon thousands. John saw them. There could be millions in there. I don't know. But one thing for sure, there is a specific number. There is a limit. Amen? We understand that God did not die for everybody. God died for His own. Redemption is only for those that are His. You cannot redeem something that is not yours. Hallelujah. And so, we hear pictures of their conviction, of their understanding how a person should be saved. And some are Arminianists, and some are Calvinists. And Brother Bam said, in reality, you're saved because God predestinated you before the foundation of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope that we all believe that in this church. Amen. Amen. There's a number, a specified number of believers. And I'm going to talk about that last one. Amen. Because I believe that Jesus told this parable about that one lost sheep for a reason. He's showing us that He, as the good shepherd, He exerted effort. He persevered. He left the 99 and went to the mountains and sought this one lost sheep. And the Bible said there's more joy. There's more joy for this shepherd in finding that one lost sheep than for the 99 that were not lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the importance of that last seed. I'm telling you in this message, I learned that we are all important to God. I learned in this message The prophets preach that there's no big I's and small U's. This message broke the spirit of Nicolaitan. The clergy and the laity. I grew up in a Catholic country. And I can remember when my parents would bow down to the priests and even kiss their hands and offer them the best food. They were treated in a special way because they're clergy. They're supposed to be servants of God. I had this thinking that when the priest prays, the angels would all shut up because he's a special man. But this message told me that we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. In our country, we're very particular with titles. You don't address a minister, brother. You call him pastor or reverend or bishop or some kind of a title. I'm so glad that a prophet came in our day and he said, if you love me, call me brother. Hallelujah. The wall of partition that separates clergy from laity was broken by this message. Hallelujah. The wall of partition that separates a brother in a denomination to another brother in a different denomination has been broken down by this message. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord that Malachi 4 has restored the hearts of the children, the Christians of this last day, back to the apostolic faith, apostolic way of seeing things. And I believe that God has commissioned us in this age that we're living in to really persevere and really be putting forth an effort in finding God's seed. Because every seed is important to God. Hallelujah. And lean not unto thy own understanding. He said in this quote, you see, if you were in the foreknowledge of God, then you are becoming a part of God. And the only way you can be a son of God or a daughter of God is you had to be a part of God. And God isn't complete without you. What a statement. God is not even complete without you. God is made up of you and me. God is made up of all the predestinated seed in all the ages. And He is not complete without you. Has to be. But Abraham said, that's right, because there is one, only one resource of eternal life, and that is God. And Him alone has eternal life. See? And if you are a part of Him, in so much that you're an attribute or in His thinking in the beginning, and that, because He thought of you in the beginning, it gives that little tug towards Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what has to be quickened. And some of them will never be quickened, and they just don't have it. That's all. I'm so glad I have this seed in me. And when I heard a voice, hallelujah, something quickened inside of me. Something's telling me, hallelujah, you're connected with that message. You're connected with that voice, that word that you're hearing. Hallelujah. You're a part of that voice. You're a part of God. You see, if you think about it, we are all indispensable in the economy of God. Hallelujah. You remember when Moses, he had an excuse. God wanted to use him, but he said, I can't even speak properly. He probably stuttered. He probably had a stroke in the desert. And he wanted to run away from his calling. But God said, it's not Aaron your brother. He's an eloquent speaker. You have a problem, we'll take care of the problem. But I need you, hallelujah. I need you to do the job, Moses. Hallelujah. How many of us tried to run away. I tried to run away. I'm a very nervous person, very backward in many ways. And I have never imagined myself speaking before a congregation of people. Hallelujah. But God called me. And I tried to run away. But God caught up with me. He created circumstances in my life so that I can run away no more. Hallelujah. I wanted to be an engineer, to be a builder, build roads and bridges, and earn a lot of money. But God's will is stronger than my will. And I thank God. Amen. I thank God. Now He gave me the revelation. God is not even complete without me. Think about it. God is not complete without you. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 14, verse 21, I think this is the scripture that God used when Brother Branham preached, "Is your life is worthy of the gospel?" When the Lord prepared a wedding supper. And in verse 21, we read in the Bible, so the Bible said, "So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind.' And then the servant said, 'Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room.'" I look at this servant and I look at Brother Branham's ministry. I believe God used Brother Branham to bring in the halt and the lame and the sick people. He said it himself when he was telling about his experience at the Angelus Temple, which is called the Calvary Temple, I think, in California. He said it this way. "So when we went down that day," you know, he was talking with this renowned minister who catered to the better class of society, and he did not believe divine healing. He believed in the formal gospel, and they were using the same auditorium. And then Brother Branham did not argue with him, but just told him that the Lord has commissioned me to preach divine healing. I can never preach the gospel without preaching divine healing. And he said this. "So when we went down that day, there he had about 1,600-1,800 people, and they all went out, and nice and well-dressed people. He asked for the altar call, and one woman came down and shook his hands with him and accepted Christ." And that's fine, Brother Bram said, "but there went his crowd out, and there came mine in wheelchairs and straitjackets and crutches and beds and cots." My, there was a revival that day. Brother Branham said, "I was able to lead more people to the Lord in a month's time than this man who doesn't believe divine healing and think he's better off than the rest of the preachers." Hallelujah. In many years, just in one month, I won many souls to the Lord. Hallelujah. And look at the kind of people he won. The halt, the blind, the sick people. Hallelujah. And I look at the parable in chapter 14 of the Gospel of St. Luke. The servant said, "Lord, it is done. I brought in the sick people as you commanded, and yet there is room." Hallelujah. Meaning, there's still more people to be won. When Brother Branham died, the commission did not die. When they buried Brother Branham in 1965, the Holy Spirit did not get buried. When Brother Branham left the scene, the pillar of fire did not leave the scene. Hallelujah. I believe we have something to do. The bride of today has something to do. And that is to find the souls that are on the list, are on God's list before the foundation of the world. There's still some of them. The Bible said there is still room. Brother Branham said he led 1 million souls to the Lord with the ministry that God has given him. But the parable said, and yet there is room. Hallelujah. And what are we doing as believers of this message? I believe we need to be, we need to do our best and be involved, testify, do something for God. Be involved in missions. Brother Branham said, you're always in the will of God if you do missions. If you can't go, he said, send somebody. Hallelujah. And we need to do it with a passion. Because in verse 23 of Luke 14, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Brothers and sisters, God is not going to stop until His house is filled. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. His house is going to be filled. This wedding supper is going to be filled by invitation only. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He knows just exactly how many people will come. He knows how many people would be led of the Lord under Brother Branham's ministry. And He knows who are the people that will come in under the ministry of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That word compel the people to come in means to constrain, to necessitate, to drive to threaten. Think about it. To be persistent. Yes. Hallelujah. And I'm able to travel and visit a lot of churches, and it just saddens me to see a lot of churches that claim to believe the message that don't do nothing for missions. That they talk about building a bigger fellowship hall, changing the carpet in the church, buying some chandeliers, don't do nothing for mission. I saw a pastor's son. He's a teenager. And I wondered what he was doing, but he was straining himself and looking under the truck that was parked outside of their house, and he was reaching something. And I looked at it, and it was a little frog, a green frog. And he was trying his best to untangle the legs of the frog. In a little twig or a little plant, and he was trying his best to set the frog free, and he was really feeling for the frog, I think he's one of the animal activists of today. Wanted to do the best that he could to feed that little frog, a little frog, and won't do nothing for missions. I believe God is going to hold us responsible. God wants the wedding supper, the wedding hall, filled with people. He wants the last ones to come in. And this job has been allotted to us in this day. I don't think God saved us just to collect His children and put them in a cabinet and admire them, and I got beautiful children. I don't believe that's the reason God called us and saved us. God called us for a purpose. And that's to be able to go and win somebody. Go and do the best that we can. Compel the people to come in. Let's do our best and do it with a passion. Don't be dilatory. Then don't be contented just sitting in church doing nothing. Many times we get discouraged because People don't pay attention to what we're telling them. Or people say no and reject us. But just because people reject us doesn't mean they are condemned already. In the other parable, the first son said, "Yes, I won't work. But then after a while he repented and he started working in the vineyard. Now Jesus was talking to religious people. Jesus was actually talking to the clergy. And he told this parable. But, and he was saying, there are people that would say no at first, but then they would think it over. And then they would eventually work in the vineyard. But there are people who you think are the ones that are gonna do it and work up and then they pay lip service. And they say amen and they say, "We want to work for you," and don't do nothing. Hallelujah. So Jesus asked them the question, which one of them did the will of the Father? And they knew the answer, the correct answer. Of course, the first one. The one that said no first. And then he thought it over and then he started working in the vineyard of the Father. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord said, John came to you first. And you rejected his message. Now the harlots and the sinners, they heard John and they received. And the Lord said, they will come into the kingdom of heaven before you. Jesus was saying, the last will become first. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm talking to you about the last seed now. Yes. Hallelujah. Because it should give us excitement that we are living in this, in the last of the last days. Hallelujah. The Lord did not mean for you to live in any other day. He did not put you in Luther's day. He did not put you way back in the dark ages. Not even in the Pentecostal day. He put you here in the seventh church age. Hallelujah. You know why? I believe Brother Branham said, seven is God's number of completion. Hallelujah. So you're here because you are supposed to complete God's number. Hallelujah. Here is where the last seed will come in. The seventh church age. Hallelujah. And we talk about seven seals. And there's a big argument about the seventh seal being not open. And the seventh seal, some believe that they're open. It's open. And some believe that it's not open. In our country, there's a big debate over this thing. Hallelujah. But seven is God's number of completion. And I don't believe God gave us an incomplete message today. Hallelujah. I believe the seventh seal, hallelujah, is open. I believe that the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. The seventh seal is the revealing of the Word. Hallelujah. I believe the seventh seal reveals all the mysteries that are in the Bible. These are not seven doctrines. These are not seven virtues. These are not seven men like other people believe. But seven is the number of completion. Meaning the complete mystery of God has now been made available to us. The complete mystery of the Bible has now been revealed. And we are privileged people to be enjoying it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And you are the completion of the Lord's bride. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm believing that I'm speaking to the last of the seeds of the Lord's bride. Hallelujah. But people in the message develop a complex just because people reject us or they have all kinds of preconceived ideas and are prejudiced about what we believe. In our country, we are considered as a cult. a cult. And just to mention the name William Branham, it has a stigma to it. That's why people have become, they develop this complex of, you reject me, I condemned you. And they begin to think, you reject this message because you're not predestinated to be in the bride. Maybe you're foolish virgin. You're probably serpent seed. There's no hope for you. And the result is they stop. They stop reaching out to people. They don't do nothing for mission. They stop going out and preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. When the Bible said we need to compel them to come in, meaning we need to double our effort. If we need to threaten the people, threaten them. Hallelujah. Because we don't have a lot of time. Elijah had this complex. You remember? He started saying, the people, they have transgressed your commandments and they have broken down the altars and they have killed your prophets. And I alone am left. And they're after my life. They want to kill me. This was Elijah, the one that was sent by God to start a revival in the nation. Hallelujah. But Elijah found himself complaining to God and condemning the people that he was supposed to reach with his message. Now he's complaining and condemning the people. He developed a complex. God said, Elijah, there's still 7,000 souls that have not bowed their knees to Baal. I have reserved them. They're on the list, Elijah. Don't give up on them. Don't you be coming to me and complaining and griping and condemning the people, because I have reserved unto myself 7,000 more that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Think of Elijah. He did not see them. There were 7,000 others and he did not see them. He thought he was the only one. I'm thinking some preachers have complexes too. I'm wondering if we have not developed a complex over the years. Yes. Hallelujah. Just because people reject, people don't want to listen to us. Yes. And we start condemning them. Yes. We start branding the people. This is what they told me when I started taking the message to right into denominational realms, when we started doing the Mystery Expo seminars, or this is a message presentation seminar, and because we go right into the denominational realms, we go right into their clergy. In our country, there are associations or a network of ministers. The Baptists, they have one. The Pentecostals, they have one. And all other denominations, they have a network of ministers, and they usually come together once a week. They go to McDonald's and have coffee there, and they would listen to somebody present a new doctrine or maybe a new business or anything that they deem important to talk about amongst themselves. and what we started doing, we go amongst themselves and we try to befriend the denominational ministers. And me, I target the leader and sit right next to him, and I would talk to him about bits and pieces about the message, certain mysteries about Sarah and Abraham turning back to a young man and a woman. And then he would say, where'd you get that? And I show him where the Bible says that, you know, Abraham is well, and Sarah were well stricken years. And how that Melchizedek, when he saw Sarah, that he actually was physically attracted to her. And they say, that's wonderful, brother. And I challenge them. I say, do you want to hear more? You know, whether they admit it or not, I now know that these theologians, these preachers, they are a sucker for deep teachings. And they say, do you have more? And so we invite them the next meeting, the next breakfast or networking meeting that they have. We pay the food for as long as they sit down for a whole day as we present the message to them. Of course, without telling them the source at first. I remember this one time when we held an expo down in Bicol region, about 12 hours south of Manila. A bunch of Assemblies of God ministers, some students, but the presbyter was present. And as I was presenting the message by means of PowerPoint presentation, the presbyter was amening the loudest, and he was standing and he was clapping his hands and really rejoicing for the new revelation he was hearing. Because, you know, I was showing them. I wasn't using any verbatim statements. I was showing them directly from the scriptures, the teaching that we believe. Hallelujah, that everything has been scriptural. And so this Presbyterian man was amening and rejoicing. But towards the end of the day, we were supposed to give out literature because we have to leave them with something. And of course, they would read Brother Branham's name on the books, and so we had to tell them our source before we give out the books. And so we tell them, we introduce Brother Branham and show his pictures and say things about his ministry and life. And this presbyter, he couldn't hold himself; he couldn't hold his peace. He stood up and said, "Reverend Soriano, excuse me." He said, for a whole day, since this morning, I've been rejoicing and amening everything that you had to say. But don't you be introducing that man to be a prophet of God. I know him to be a false prophet. So I told him, excuse me, sir, but I think it's too late for you to say that because you already amen to his teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And out of that bunch, there's a some ministers that receive the message, and they're standing for the word. They turned their back from all kinds of support, left their organization, left their church, and they're now pressing on and moving on with the light that the Lord has gloriously given us in this day. Hallelujah. And then the ministers, we baptize them in the name of the Lord. Correct spiritual baptism. They receive the message. They take the books and they preach from the books. And now they ask us to come and help them present the message to their groups. Because it's not easy for a minister who's been preaching Trinity to his congregation to all of a sudden say, all the things that I've been teaching you for 15 years have been wrong. And so they're saying, come help us. And to the glory of God, we've been baptizing whole churches, my brothers and sisters. Whole villages. We baptized them by the truckloads in Mindanao. Hallelujah. Because once you get the head, you get the whole body. And we've won tribal chiefs in Mindanao in this way, by presenting the message to them in this way, by means of Mystery Expo seminars. And we've been baptizing whole tribes, whole villages. Amen. And who knows? The last seed could be in those tribes. Hallelujah. But if we can only get rid of our prejudice. I was being criticized. I said, Brother Rowell, what are you doing bringing the message, taking the message to the denominational people? Don't you know, Brother Branham called them harlots? They rejected the message already. But I just asked them, how can they reject something that they haven't even heard? And where did you come from? Hallelujah. But you see, we develop a complex. And I know ministers that even formulate teachings that it's over. Blood is off the mercy seat. Everything was over in 1963. God closed the door in 1963. God didn't close the door in 1963. Reason why I know that, because I'm still here. And people are still responding to the Word of God. I don't care what they teach. People are responding to the message of the hour. Amen. Hallelujah. In the fourth seal, Brother Ben said, them names were put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world will come forth, just as certain as anything. That is why Jesus sits right there and waits with his mediatorial work until that last seed, he said, he will know exactly when to strike. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no question about it. All the names in the book will come in. If you are God's seed, no matter how hard you try to run away from this message, God is going to catch up with you. He'll bring you in. His will is stronger than your will. Hallelujah. So Jesus knows when to strike. Jesus knows when to stop his mediatorial work. Hallelujah. Amen. I know a lot of ministers that don't know. They think Jesus stopped already. They set dates. But we're still here. Amen. Amen. So obviously that last seed hasn't come in yet. Hallelujah. I spoke in companies of just 3 or 4, Brother Bam said. And then I've spoke 500,000 at one time, that's 500,000 people, 250,000 at another, and it don't matter what it is, what Christ sends to me to listen, I wouldn't change my subject one bit if it was 1,000,000 people sitting there tonight, just the same, because I'm only sowing the seed, and it has to fall on the ground somewhere, and when that last seed has been brought in, there won't be any more. Oh, well, what a happy day that will be. When that last seed comes in. Not the second to the last. But that last seed. It's like the announcement. It's like the closing of grace for the Gentile people. It's like the announcement of the rapture. Hallelujah. When that last one comes in, there won't be any more. It's going to be a complete body. The name will be completed. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope you're getting excited because I am. I know that one day that last seed is going to come in. Hallelujah. Investments. Brother Bam said, so Noah went in and the door closed behind him. And Noah did not close the door. God closed the door. And so will he do it again when the last member of the body of Christ, it will never make it a fit body for you and I. We better come in while there is opportunity. It won't have 6 fingers on one hand and won't have 2 fingernails on one finger. It will be a perfect body without blemish. It's going to be a complete body. When that last member's been added to the body, God will close the door between mercy and judgment. Hallelujah. So it's not who can be the biggest, who has the best missionary program, who's got the best ministry, who can know the most about the message. But it's about bringing that last one in. Hallelujah. Look at what Brother Bam said. God is looking for character, not membership. Character. Eliezer, when he went to get the bride of Isaac, he sweated it out until he found character. Remember, Abraham put him responsible as God puts us responsible. Are you listening? That's right. We ministers, he said, hunt my bride. Hallelujah. He used the word hunt. He said, God bless your heart. I'm looking for members. I ain't looking for members. I'm looking for pure heart. I'm looking for the pure in heart. Somebody that will believe the word. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. No, you know, you don't hunt domesticated fowls, chickens. You hunt eagles. Hallelujah. People with character. Hallelujah. People that are not just knowledgeable about the message, but people that live what they believe. People that can obey the word of God. Believe the word. That's what God is looking for. Amen. God is looking for quality, the God quality. Amen. Hallelujah. Invisible union, he said. Now your old book is gone with your old union. That's our old life. Now your name has been transferred. Now you say, do you mean to tell me that my old book, God put it in the sea of forgetfulness and you stand perfectly before God? Now your name now is in the new book, not in the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed. Not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your marriage certificate. Brother Branham said, your name being transferred to the book of life of the Lamb, that's your marriage certificate. And what is a marriage certificate? It's a document that proves that you are truly married. Hallelujah. I don't care how people judge you. I don't care if people condemn you. Hallelujah. You know how people put you around their outside their circles of fellowship and they brand you? I've never seen such amongst the Pentecostal people. I've seen it happening in the message movement. Yeah. People branding other people. Yeah. And putting them out of their circle of fellowship. Hallelujah. But I don't care what they say about you. Hallelujah. You know. Hallelujah. Because you watch your life change. You know. Hallelujah. Because now you value the word of God. Hallelujah. You cannot. It's not in you to disobey or disbelieve the word of God because you are part of this word. How do you know? Hallelujah. Your name has been transferred to the new book. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. And that's your marriage certificate. No matter what people say about you, you're holding the marriage certificate. And that's your life's testimony. Hallelujah. The very life of God, the token. You got the token. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But where would we be if somebody did not tell us? Where would we be if somebody did not go? Hallelujah. And persevered. And did the best that he can. Sacrifice. Put forth an effort. And constrained us. Told us it's necessary, threatened us. Hallelujah. Where would we be without people compelling us? Now it's our turn to compel others. Amen. To come in. Hallelujah. You say, I'm not a preacher. Burbank said, if you can't preach a sermon, leave one. It's more effective. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. You pray for the ministers in our country. Used to be I was the only one, but other caught the vision, and now other ministers are going for it. And I actually stopped doing the expo because I just get overwhelmed with the response of the denomination of people. And now our names are being broadcast over the radio, even in television shows. Beware of this mystery expo people. Because they're nothing but mass proselyters. Before we were just proselyting one or two. But now they're saying they get the whole congregation. Hallelujah. But Brother Roel, Brother Nestor Espanola is not doing it. I believe it's the work of God. Hallelujah. We just need to be sensitive in the direction or wants us to go. The Lord wants us to go. Hallelujah. In Matthew 23, verse 15, the Lord said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land and make one proselyte." You talk about zeal. Talk about an effort. Hallelujah. Talk about compelling the people to come in. The Pharisees were doing it. So you encompass sea and land to make one proselyte. They spend thousands of dollars to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more of a child of hell than yourselves. They are good disciplers. They have a good discipleship program, evangelistic program. They have good missionary programs, describes the Pharisees. Hallelujah. But the Lord said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. If the Pharisees were doing it just for one convert, hallelujah, what are we doing as believers? Hallelujah. Where's the effort? Where's the sacrifice? Hallelujah. We have something to do. I believe we need to use all our resources to reach that last sea. Because you know why? I don't care how ready you are. How ready, how much you know about the message. If that last seed won't come in, if that last seed doesn't come in, we're not going anywhere. Hallelujah. And Jesus brought the last Old Testament seed. Did you know that? You know that thief? At first, he was reviling him, telling him, if you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and save us also? I think of some people that criticize me because we've tried to exhaust all our finances, our church fund, and to help other churches. We helped build a lot of churches in the past. We have established 32 churches all over the country, and that's not counting the ones that came out of denomination, and there are hundreds of them, and we do our best to help them. And like I told you, it gets overwhelming. That's why I stopped conducting the expo and just concentrating on the ones that have responded already and doing follow-up work, because it is just overwhelming. The kind of needs that are being presented, because after they come, and we rejoice to see the people come, but when they come, the needs come with them. Now they need Bibles. Now they need MP3 players. Now they need message materials. They need books. Now they need computers. Now they need a place of worship, because they've been driven out of their places of worship. I know ministers, the pastors and their families that have been cast out of the parsonage for standing for the word at midnight. They were asked to leave, vacate the parsonage because they made a stand for the message of the hour. Hallelujah. It just gets overwhelming. Nevertheless, it is our duty to go and press forward and do the best that we can. Make an effort, persevere, and be zealous. And when we do it, God wants to see us doing it with a passion. I remember Joash one time. I hope you remember the story of Joash. He was a good follower of the message. He believed the messenger. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 17 to 18. Let me just read it to you quickly. He wanted to prevail over the Syrians, and he went to the right person, Elisha. He knew what Elisha did to those Syrians. So he went at the point of dying. Elisha was on his sick bed, and Joash the king came to him, and Elijah made instructions. He said, "Open the window eastward 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 17. And he opened it, and Elisha said, shoot. And he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek until thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice, and stayed. Verse 19. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, thou shouldest smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. You see? Elisha reprimanded Joash for lacking the passion. He did everything that Elijah told him to do. But when he did it, Elijah knew that he did not put his heart in what he was doing. Hallelujah. His action betrayed his confession. Hallelujah. But Elisha was looking for that passion. When you want to do something for God, be passionate about it. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to do the best that we can. Hallelujah. To work in God's vineyard. There's souls to be won. They may not be in Ecuador or in Africa. They might be right next door. The last seed can be your auntie. He could be your husband. He could be one of the children. Hallelujah. And we need to pray. And we need to do the best that we can to win them to the Lord. We are the 11th hour workers spoken of by Jesus in Matthew 20, verse 1 to 6. Some were hired starting at 6 in the morning. They started working. But the 11th hour workers were hired at 5 p.m., and they only had to work for 1 hour. Others started working since 6 a.m. And there's work for us to do. Yes. Amen. Amen. We have been called to perform the finishing touches. Yes. And anybody knows that the finishing touches, they're the most expensive and they're the most difficult. Yes. Hallelujah. But I like to do the finishing touches. Hallelujah. Because it keeps you occupied. You know, when you know that you're only working for 1 hour, you don't watch the time. You don't care about the time. You concentrate on what you're doing. Hallelujah. And that's what should be happening in this day. Hallelujah. We should not be conscious about the time, conscious about the way we live, conscious about our plans for the future. Hallelujah. Because this is an urgent matter. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord has caused technology to advance in our day so we can do a quick work. Right. But man said, the bride will do a quick work, right? So we went from horsepower to jet-powered planes. We went from handwriting to scanning. We went from snail mail to send to all email. Hallelujah. We went from circuit riding to video streaming. From television sets to broadband broadcasts. Because it's now, in this age, your age, God has allowed this to happen because you're the one God has chosen to do the work, the finishing touches. You're the one God has chosen to call in that last seed. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's not easy work. But I'm using the word hunt. When you hunt, you have to be prepared. You have to go to the boondocks. Prepare to sacrifice. Prepare to do hard work. You need to be patient. Hallelujah. In Luke 23, like I said, that male factor that was hanged on the cross with the Lord Jesus. He's saying, if you're the Son of God, save yourself and save us also. They were telling me, Brother Rovere, you've helped Other groups build churches, and you don't even have your own church. Hallelujah. But I take that as a compliment. I remember what they told the Lord. You save others. Why can't you save yourself? I believe what the prophet said about having eternal life. You want to know for sure if you have eternal life. He said eternal life is living yourself for others. Amen. Living your life, I said, for others. Hallelujah. And that is expending your resources, everything about you, doing your best to benefit other people. Hallelujah. I believe we have a scripture to fulfill. John 3:16 has already been fulfilled by the Lord. But I believe we need to fulfill 1 John 3:16. Hallelujah. Where it said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:16. It's easy to remember it. That's our scripture today. And the Lord, and that thief, what was the last on the least in the Old Testament. You realize that? He was the last one to come in the Old Testament dispensation. Hallelujah. And the Lord Himself brought him in. Hallelujah. At first he was deriding the Lord. But then he got to thinking, praise the Lord, and he looked at him, and he rebuked the other malefactor, and he said, don't you fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Hallelujah. In his very last breath, he looked at the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And he recognized Him to be the supreme sacrifice, the sinless sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This man spent all his life robbing people. He may have committed murder, I don't know. But he committed something worthy of capital punishment. He probably has never been to church. He's never heard a Bible study. He's never come to the altar. He's never said amen to the word. He's never sung a song of worship. This man has never been baptized. Hallelujah. But at the point of death, God so predestinated that he would be dying right next to the door of heaven. Hallelujah. The first became last. The last became first, I should say. Hallelujah. He was the last. But the Lord said, today you will be with me in paradise. And you know, there were others that went before him. Hallelujah. Old Testament saints, they went to paradise. Brother Branham taught that about this place where all the dead go. They went to paradise if they lived right and believed the Lord. Hallelujah. And there were others before him. But this last seed, when he came to paradise, he came with an escort. Not the angels of heaven, not some prophets escorted him into paradise, but the Lord Himself escorted him into paradise. The last seed. Hallelujah. That's how important that last one is to God. Hallelujah. And we're here, it's our duty. Let's not be distracted from our main commission. It's to go out there and reach that last one. Hallelujah. He could be right here in Ohio. I don't know. He could be one of those denominational ministers we're talking to in the Philippines. He could be one of those illiterate, uneducated tribe people that we just baptized recently. I don't know. But Brother Bam said, when that last one comes in, when that last part of the body comes in, then there will be no more. It's not going to be a fake body. It's going to be a complete body. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful to God. Amen. That I'm one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you recognize your part in the body. Because I'm finding out that problems in this message are caused by the ones who don't know their position in the body. Amen. Hallelujah. But I am also finding out that if one has been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost, then he knows how to respect others' position also. And Brother Bam said, when we all come to recognition of our part in the body of Christ, what did he say? And the rapture will go. Amen. May God bless you. May God give us a burden. May God ever keep the fire burning in our hearts for lost soul, for that last one. Leave the 99 and look for that last one. Hallelujah. Bible said there's more rejoicing over that one person. Not the second to the last, that last one. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let us all stand. As the musicians come, sing a little bit of Whatever It Takes. Is that your desire? Yes. To do whatever it takes? Yes. To reach that last predestinated seed. We won't be complete without that last one. God is not even complete without him. Hallelujah. Give G.
For whatever draw closer to you, Lord. That's what I'll be willing to do. And whatever I'll be willing to. There's a voice calling me from an old road, and it whispers, draw closer. Heights to climb and a new place in me you will find. Or whatever, sing it together, sing it with me.
Hallelujah.
You're the one, that's what I'll be willing. God has chosen you to live in this age. Whatever it takes to be more like me, that's what I'll be willing to do. Listen to this verse. Lord, take my houses and change my dreams and my place. For I'm placing my whole life in your hands. And should you call me today to a land far away, Lord, I'll go. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. that's what I'll be willing to do.
Sing it again.
For whatever it says,
hallelujah,
grow closer. That's what I'll be willing to be more like you. Oh, that's what I'll be willing. I'll trade sunshine for rain. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes, for my will to break. Oh, that's what I'll be willing to do.
Praise God. Enjoy His Word. Good reminder. You know, you say, well, Brother Jeff, we're such a missionary-minded church. Well, let me ask you something. Are you a missionary? Well, you know, we reach out as a body. Do you reach out? Well, you know, we're so effective all over the world. Are you effective? Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, don't you want to be more salty?
Amen.
I want to be more salty. I look for thirsty hearts everywhere I go all the time. Brother Jeremy and me, I was getting a haircut today. What hair I have, I was getting a haircut. He says, are you burdened for every soul you run across? And I had to say, no. I said, I build a rapport with people, and I find out if they're thirsty. And if I'm always running across their path, and God is always putting me in front of them, then I know there's a divine reason for that. And so I just wait and I plant seed, because the Bible says the husbandman waiteth with patience for the precious fruit. So you sow seed and then you pray over that seed. But you know, sometimes you can be in the message and in the message environment, in the message circle so long, you forget what you were delivered from. You forget how great a deliverance this message is. You say, well, Brother Jeff, really, jog my memory. What kind of deliverance is this? Well, do you believe in eternal hell? No, you don't. Because the Word of God doesn't preach in eternal hell. Well, do you believe that women can marry and divorce and remarry and divorce and all? No, you don't. Because it's not in the Word of God. That was restored in this last day. Well, do you believe in a trinity of gods, of separate persons in the Godhead? No, you don't. You believe in one God, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And you don't believe in a trinity of baptisms. You don't baptize in the titles of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No more than you would baptize in the titles of Comforter, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. You know, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Jeff, does it really matter, you know, that we have these little bit of variances and differences? The Scripture says, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And the Scripture says, if you add to the book, the plagues will be added. If you take away, your name's taken out of the book. So God's pretty finicky about being with one with His word. If He weren't, then He wouldn't have never sent a prophet to restore us back to the faith that Paul preached. And I just made a list. How about the Bible is the authority over the church being the authority? Because the majority of the churches that just barely got out of Catholicism, including the Catholic Church, believe the church is the authority. The church isn't the authority. The Bible is the authority. How about the Bible being inerrant without a mistake? Well, there's 55-65% of denominations. They believe it's full of error, that it has error in it. Well, we don't believe that. So don't you think that they need to be delivered? Did you know that Brother Branham said that both the bride and both the bride and the foolish virgin, both of them heard the voice of the bridegroom. The wise virgin and the foolish virgin heard the voice of the bridegroom. So you say, well, we got an obligation to the bride. No, we've got an obligation to humanity. We just don't know which of humanity is actually the bride or the foolish virgin. But we've got an obligation to all of them. We don't know who's going to come in. Brother Branham said, I preach divine healing as if everybody can receive it. But he says, I know there are those that don't have faith for it. And he said, I preach salvation as if everybody can receive it. But I know that not all are ordained to it. But we still have to preach it in such a way as when I witness to somebody, I witness to them as if I know they're going to receive it. I just know you want this. I don't preach it like, you know, you probably don't want to hear this, but. I preach it as if they're hungry. I give them the benefit of the doubt that they want more than religion, that they really want their Bible to come alive to them. How many could say when you came across this message that your Bible came alive to you? You say, oh, well, you know, Brother Jeff, you know, Brother Ruel's from the Philippines, and man, they just come in by the groves there. You know, isn't that a convenient doctrine? Come on, saints. There's still more to be saved. And God's going to surprise you. Just about the time you want to give up, God's going to bring more in. You know, that ultimately what we live for as an individual, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be the best husband and the best father, the best Christian. But outside of that, then, I want to be able to see as many souls come to the Lord. I want to take them. The way I look at it is I want to bring them as far as I can bring them. And then I have to leave it up to God at that point. But I just wrote down a few of them. How about Old Testament shadows? A good majority of the churches don't even believe that the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. And so that when they talk about the life of Joseph, it begins and ends in the Old Testament. But the life of Joseph doesn't begin and end in the Old Testament. It's a perfect type of Christ. And how about him marrying a Gentile bride? You say, well, you know those old shadows and types, do they really matter? How about Jesus saying, as the brazen serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man. He took an old shadow out of the Old Testament and says, that's fulfilled in me. And so when I see the Old Testament and the New Testament come alive, you talk about an entire book that comes alive to you. Many of the churches just read out of the New Testament and they really don't understand. How about the last book in the New Testament that you and I enjoy so much as the bride of Christ? Well, wouldn't you want your denominational friends to enjoy that book as well? Absolutely. Yeah, I think sometimes we get a little bit of a complex. How about tongues not being the evidence? Look at the millions of souls that have been destroyed. And I mean destroyed over tongues of the evidence. Because they stop at a sensation or an emotion or a shake or a tongue and they never get the person. And they need that person. I'd like to give them a message of deliverance. You say, well, Brother Jeff, what is the message? Well, when I'm explaining it to somebody, I say, it's just more light. It's more light. Luther had light, Wesley had light, Pentecost was more light, and this message is more light. What about dispensational ages? Most of the churches don't believe in church ages. They don't believe that the seven church ages from Ephesus to Revelation is actually depicting a span of time of over 2,000 years. They believe that it was fulfilled back there in the churches of Asia. And that's where it ended and that's where it stopped. But we found out that those seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, all the way to the book of Revelations, we found out that God was fulfilling his word. There's a lion, an ox, a man, and there was an eagle in this last day. And that God had been with this church all through the ages. And that we even know our cue card. We know our cue card. You know, everybody who's an actor gets on stage, they've got a cue card. We know our cue card, and that's Laodicea. We're not going to be rich and increased with good, have need of nothing, naked, miserable, blind, and don't know it. We're going to be zealous and repent. And we're going to sup with him. He's going to come in and sup with us. So we know our cue card. We know exactly what to overcome in this last day. It's so beautifully spelled out through this last age message. It's precious. And there's people out there that need it. What about no communion? There's a lot of churches that don't believe in communion. But we know that the prophet came to restore communion as well. How about foot washing? Amen. That was to be restored as well. Amen. How about divine healing? You say, oh, most churches believe that. I beg your pardon. But you know what they'll say? They'll say they pray for you, but they don't believe you're going to raise up. They believe you'll heal over time. But for actually God to perform a miracle, they don't expect that. But we expect it. And then even if we don't get an instantaneous miracle, we know we'll recover. Every single time I listen to the tape and I hear the discernment line, how many times have you laid in bed? Brother Ray, I'm sure you've done this. I've done this. I've laid in bed sick. Brother Brandon mentioned, he says, now, sister, the problem you have, you've got a terrible headache right now. Stand up. And maybe I had a headache. I'm laying in bed. I stand up. I don't care if that was 1957. That's for me tonight. And I believe that that same pillar of fire that Brother Ruel spoke about that we cannot see because we don't have a prophetic eye like that, but that same pillar of fire is here tonight. Hallelujah. How about rock and roll music? How about a vision that a prophet saw a church being led by a witch to the cue of rock and roll music? Wow. Wouldn't you like to deliver the church from that? Wouldn't you like to see the nominal church delivered from that? Brother Branham said, millions worshiping the devil and don't even know it. Wow. We've got something powerful. Hallelujah. It's like those two lepers. They could have said, you know, wow, look at what the Syrians left behind. If we go into the city, we'll die. But if we go to the Syrian camp, we'll die. But either way, we're going to die. So we got to pick one of the two. So they decided to go to the Syrian camp. They went to the Syrian camp, and God had fulfilled the word, and the enemy had fled. And then they went into tent after tent, and they found gold and silver and food. And after a while, they had enough for themselves, more than enough, and they started to bury it, and then they felt guilty. They said, you know what? We got to go tell others. We got to go tell others. It's not fair for us to hoard this and not tell somebody else. Can you say amen? Lord Jesus, thank you for sending our brother Ruel. Thank you for the word tonight to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. God, I pray for every soul that they wouldn't justify their own inability to witness by looking at what the body does at large in the missionaries that go out, in the literature that goes out, in the tapes or videos that go out, in what's going on over the internet or streaming, but may they have a personal witness. Lord, not just to sort of meld into the corporate witness, but to have a personal witness. And while your head is bowed and every eye closed, how many would say, Brother Jeff, I'd like to be a more effective witness? Would you raise your hand? Yes, amen. I want to be a more effective witness. God, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Give us that wisdom, Lord God. Wisdom is merely knowledge and knowing how to use it. Wisdom is having the knowledge but knowing how to use it. This message is knowledge. You know, I could give you a brick of gold or I could throw it at you. I could hand it to you or I could throw it at you. You say, I want that gold. Well, I can either throw it at you or hand it to you. People need this message. You're sitting on it. You're burying it. Don't you think that you ought to unearth it and go tell others? He that winneth souls is wise. You pray. Watch the burden God will lay on your heart. Everything, every revival, every impulse of the Holy Spirit starts on your knees. Get on your knees, on your face before God, and watch how the unction of the Holy One will come. Jesus even said, you don't even have to worry about what you'll say in that hour because I'll fill your mouth. I'll fill your mouth. What am I going to say, Brother Jeff? He said, don't worry about it. I'll put the words in your mouth. Lord Jesus, every hand, my hand went up. I want to be a better witness. I want to be more effective. I also want that zeal and that passion. I don't want to just strike the ground three times. I want to keep smiting. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord God, to be ever more salty, to have a burden for souls. There's an angel with a pen that went forward, went out through the land looking for those who sighed and cried for the abominations that were done in the city. Mark those that are truly desirous and in earnest and are supplicating for souls. Mark them with a marking pen. God, I pray that each soul here, God would be able to know that that angel could come by their house and find them on their knees praying for souls. Maybe it's a loved one, a child, an aunt, an uncle, somebody you met at school, college, work. But if God lays them on your heart, don't keep this glorious, wonderful truth bottled up. You'll just become the Dead Sea. Everything has an inlet into the Dead Sea, but it doesn't have an outlet, and everything becomes dead. You can't just keep this and get fatter and fatter and fatter. You got to have an outlet. Tell others. Lord Jesus, thank you for the truth of this last day. Thank you for the word of God tonight. In lovely name of Jesus Christ, we commit every soul and the word that was spoken to your heart, to our heart, to your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing that song, In Jesus' Name. Oh, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed. We press on. Brother Jeff, would you come forward? I'm sorry. Amen. Yes, in Jesus' name. We press on and on. Brother Lonnie. Dear Lord, with the prize. Thank you, Dad. Here before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Yes, in Jesus' name, we press on. Oh, in Jesus' name, we press on and on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, find the strength to press on. I
I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praises go, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond compassion, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Look in your infinite mercy, who can fathom the depths of your love? Are beautiful beyond description, the enthroned above, and I stand.